He's not talking about religion. So if he's talking to the strongest ones, imagine now. We can't say that the falling away is because there's weak Christians and pathetic religions and all this stuff and lying and deceivers and antichrist. It's not about that. The falling away is a total annihilation. Total annihilation of salvation, of Christ's principles. You say, yeah, but that's what they're doing now. Yes, but it's not total. It's not complete. There's lulls sometimes. There's hope sometimes, although it's very few and far between. So the definition of apostasy is an abandonment of what one has professed. A total desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. So it's a total desertion. It's not, I'm saved, but I don't go to church, or I'm saved, but I talk in tongues, or I'm saved, and you have to beat your kids to a bloody pulp, or I'm saved. No, that's not what it's talking about. It says a total desertion, total. So I've seen it. I've seen a child, okay, that's going to remain nameless, homeschooled, intelligent, sharp-witted, saved, got saved at an early age, but by the time he was 18, he became an atheist. And I'm talking about a dad that had a King James Bible and knew everything about Ruckman and Ruckman, and still. So what does that mean? What does Ruckman mean? It means nothing. It guarantees you nothing. What has to happen is we as parents, we as Christians have to have some guts about us. Have to have some fortitude. And that's not the case. We're too busy shouting. It's a party, man, for the 4 or 5 people that are left. So it's a total desertion. So the day of Christ is marked by an event that is very clear in this day and age. People who used to believe do not believe anymore. Or it's not even a question of watering down the belief. It's a question of not believing anymore. Because if it was just a question of watering it down, like I said, well then, that's it. The rapture or the catching away should have already happened. Because everyone, I don't care how staunch you think you are, everyone is watered down. Everyone. In recent news, we see that the evangelical church is not only accused of holding Luciferian services, but they are now adding Lent, Epiphany, Easter, and all other Catholic celebrations to their schedules. This is thanks to Billy Graham that sold out to the Catholics and made his religion, evangelicalism, an ecumenical mess to this day. He was preaching with communists like Martin Luther King Jr. and was spiritual counsel to many U.S. presidents, including another communist, Barry Sorter, otherwise known as, Barack Obama. He was famous for turning away Catholics that wanted to get saved back into Rome's hands. Famous. Imagine being famous for that. Now, you get a preacher like Jack Woods, and if you never heard of him, you can look him up. Now, this guy was the real deal. There was no watered down nothing here. Okay, he had a sermon called, I Don't Believe Billy Graham Was Saved. And he was the only one that had the guts to say anything. So this character, Billy Graham, he received an honorary degree from Belmont Abbey College, a Catholic organization. An Anglican church celebrated Christmas with Jesus and Muhammad. Women preachers are everywhere now and have polluted the grounds of spirituality with their touchy-feely sermons. James Knox, a preacher in Florida, had half his congregation walk out because he would not stop preaching against homosexual perversion sodomites. It is no surprise that the largest Protestant organizations are falling one by one to the world and the devil. Even as Bible believers, there are many internal struggles, battles and competitions to an inordinate amount of biblical knowledge without the proper balance of grace. Being crazy for Jesus is one thing, but just being crazy is another. 1,700 years ago, a great type of the falling away was around 300 AD when Christianity was blended with paganism and formed what we know as Catholicism under the rule of a madman called Constantine, and later other madmen called popes. And by the way, there were female popes. Two, if I'm not mistaken. We have fulfilled the first part of the requirement of verse 3, and now we move on to the revelation of the man of sin. Step 2, man of sin revealed. Okay, we're still in verse 3. This man of sin is also referred to as the son of perdition, which in turn is a reference to Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. In John 17:12, it states, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So what does perdition mean? Perdition means the utter loss of the soul or final happiness in a future state, future misery or eternal death. The impenitent sinner is condemned to final perdition. So there's Satanists and certain beliefs that Judas was the good guy. But when you have a title like Son of Perdition, and the definition of perdition is the impenitent sinner is condemned to final perdition, how, you know, like it's again that Luciferian thing where they flip everything upside down, you know? They try to change the definition of words, just like the devil does. They're just following what their father is doing. They're trying to change the definition of words so you get confused and think that things mean one thing, but they actually mean another. And then they can come up with whatever they want, because they can make words mean whatever they want. So 2 Thessalonians was written decades after the event with Judas Iscariot. So we know that Paul was talking about future events and not the past. We know that Satan entered into Judas in Luke 22:3, John 13:27. We also know that Revelation 13 speaks of the beast, which is the Antichrist, once Satan enters into his body in verse 9. We cannot go further than these two steps, because in between the first and the second step is where we make our great escape. Everything that happens after the catching away happens to the people who have globally rejected Jesus Christ, whether in spirit or in actual speaking of words. We are living in a time when anyone, anywhere, who wants to know the truth about God can find it in 2 seconds on the internet with the Holy Spirit's guidance. In other words, if they're really looking for the truth. The next time period to come to pass is called the time of Jacob's trouble, or the tribulation or the great tribulation. This is the time period in which God starts dealing with the Jews again on a national level and will bring judgment to them and the Lord's enemies, the ones who side with the Antichrist. The Bible declares this time as a time of destruction that the world has never seen before, including the time before Noah's flood. What was once done by water will soon be done by blood and fire. We, as members of the church age, have had the luxury and the privilege to be on God's good side if we obeyed what he said. Yet, if we choose not to obey, we get punishment, but not eternal damnation if you're saved. This is not so in the tribulation. They will be put through a winepress physically until the blood reaches the horse's bridle, which is about 5 feet high, in a space that's 58 kilometers long and 24 kilometers wide, called the Valley of Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. So what's coming to this earth cannot be described. It can be told, it can be prophesied, but cannot be described, because the Bible says it's a time the world has never seen before. So even the most fertile imagination can't germinate these ideas. It's a shame. It's a bloody shame that people haven't taken the way out. That's what it is. That's Satan. Some of it is Satan blinding the minds, and some of it is just pride from the flesh, and some of it is just a sign of the times, I guess. It's the spirit of the age, you know? But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. I mean, if you look at the Canadian, they call him Prime Minister here. He's, how can I say this without seeming unchristian, a moron. He wants to talk to Jerry Brown in California and pitch the globalism idea. I mean, literally, he's talking to a bankrupt state and pitching more of their socialist, communist garbage. I mean, do they realize what they do, these people? Do they even know what's going on in reality? Or they're just so blind and brainwashed that they can't see what socialism and communism can result in? Because socialism is just the first step. You see, you'll hear statements like, but the government should, and it's the government's responsibility too. That, my friends, is called socialism going into communism. The government is a servant, and it should not do what the people say, not the other way around. I mean, you gotta put it in perspective. Canada has about 34 million people. So it's relatively a small country. I mean, its landmass is huge. Population-wise, it's ridiculously small compared to some European or some Middle Eastern countries. Ridiculous. And yet, for them to spout the things that they spout takes a lot of courage on Satan's side. We know that no matter what you do, the Bible will be proven right. Prophecy must come to pass. It's never failed in the past. It's never failed in the present. And it will not fail in the future. So if you're not saved and listening to this, you need to get saved. I can't be any plainer than that. You need to get saved. But if you're saved and listening to this, you need to get going. Do something. Do something. The hymn says, rescue the perishing. That's what we're there to do. So are you a planter or are you a waterer? But remember, it's God that gives the increase. Amen.